Hello.
Hello, Rich is back.
Hello, Rich is back. Is this something we said earlier?
The phone call was to say he's going to be 10 minutes late. If you say 10 minutes in Arabic, that means 15, 20, maybe a bit longer.
Do you know what? This series of episodes of the podcast has got to be one of my favourites so far because of everything that's been going on. I love it.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is Technical Manager Referees, UAE FA, Richard Mellon. Now, you'll notice that was a much shortened introduction because I want to pick up, Rich, where we left off last time with the mighty Ron Groves. We're having such a good time with Ron. We've kept him hanging on to Skype, so we're going to get some more stories out of him. And that said, halfway through this episode, you're going to have to get up and go to a game. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I've got a game to go to this afternoon, and I've arranged for the referee to pick me up. We're going to a place the other side of Sharjah. So if anybody's listening to the podcast and you want to know where I'm going today, it's a club called Al Arabi, the other side of Sharjah. Have a look on Google and you'll find out where I've been.
Hey, Ron, look at that. I bet he didn't have a chauffeur in those days when you knew him back when you were living in Weston-super-Mare, eh?
No, that is true. And Sharjah is a name that springs in my mind many, many times because I did a year in Muharraq. Do you know where Muharraq is?
Well, I know of it, but I don't know where it is, no.
It's Bahrain.
One of my colleagues is over there assessing today.
Oh, right.
In a World Cup qualifier.
Oh, blimey. I had a year in Bahrain back in the 64, 65, and I had friends in Sharjah at the RAF station there, you know. Small world, you see.
And it's all coming together now on the Referees World podcast. So, Ron, it's great to still have you with us. But let's just talk about refereeing today compared to when you were on the leagues. Tell me what your thoughts are, your general feeling. When you sit down to watch a game of football today, what do you think about when you see the referee and the assistant referees and the fourth official and everything that's going on?
Well, I think I wish I was 40 years younger. For a start, but no, I watch with interest. I feel sorry for them because of VAR, which we touched on last week for you last week.
Yeah.
It's still going on, and people are still unsure of it. The same in Europe as well. I think Europe have actually got it a bit better than we have at the moment. So I watch. I always watch the referee. I look at the referee's positioning. I look at the assistants and see what their movements are like. Because as Richard knows, because I got him into assessing, I was running the National List of Assessors for a number of years when I worked for the PGMOL. I think the assessors these days, what they call observers now, they have a difficult job as well because they will only look at what they see is actually happening on the field of play, which actually isn't it isn't VAR or any of that. They have to report what they see, and I think that's a difficult job for them as well.
Rich, can I ask you at this point, actually, that's a very good point you've made there, Ron. As an assessor, with VAR getting involved, can that throw what you're going to put down about the referee into a little bit of a situation? Because you might be thinking, well, actually, I was going to discuss this with the referee and VAR has completely thrown that out the window.
No, unfortunately, or fortunately as it is, assessors or observers on the Football League now only are appointed to Division 1, Division 2. There's an evaluation system that goes on to the Premier League and the Championship, which comes under the VAR. VAR is not applied to Division 1, Division 2 and the National League. So I've never worked under that that pressure. So I can't really answer your question, Dad, but just to let you know, there is an evaluation system on the Premier League with VAR, and that is done by a panel who watched every game, every week, whereas the Football League, we operate with the iPad or I did operate with the iPad on the Football League, and we use all video clips that are, you know, made available to us within hours of the game finishing.
So I suppose the technologies do have their positive points, but Ron clearly is not a fan of VAR, are you?
No, I'm not a fan of VAR because it takes the authority away from the referee. In our day, Richard, you know, a referee or an assistant referee made an honest decision in a split second from the angle he was at the time, which isn't the angle of the managers, other players, or the cameras were at the game. And so it's quite difficult, really, to say VAR is helping the modern game, because, as I said to you earlier, it's taken away the euphoria of when a goal is scored. It's certainly taken away that. Especially if you know, we have to look at the AO, we have to look at, was there a foul or was he offside? And I think that's a shame, because I think that's eroded the authority of the match officials. Because when the referee in our day made a decision, whether they liked it or not, the decision was made, say, honest decision, split second, angle you were at the time, which isn't the angle of many others, you know. So I think it's a bit difficult. And now I feel, when you say I watch a game, I feel sorry, really, for the referees. I shouldn't really, because they're getting paid a lot more money than we ever got paid, Rich.
I was going to ask you, actually, Ron, as a Premier League back in the early days, and I've never really asked this, because it's probably a bit personal, but, you know, it's probably a question that many would like to know. What sort of money would you be getting for a game back in the old days when the Premier League first started?
I think the most I got for a game was around, I think it was 235 plus expenses, obviously. Yeah. But it was 235 was the most I got for a Premier League game.
Wow, that's certainly changed then, hasn't it?
Well, crikey. Well, now, what they come in on about, I don't know, the salary's around about 80K, I think.
Yeah.
They start at.
Do you think the referee should be paid more, particularly in this day and age, with the sort of money that is floating around with the footballers? And at the end of the day, the pressure in the middle of a game on the Premier League is immense. So do you think that they're underpaid? Hang on a sec. At this point, Rich is waving because that means he's going to get up and go so we can talk about referees' wages.
Richard, give my regards to Lee.
Thanks, I will do. His wife arrived yesterday and we'll catch up another time, Ron.
Yeah,
take care. Good to see you looking well as well, Ron.
Okay, thanks, mate.
Still 70, got that.
76 tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday tomorrow.
Yes. This is
still looking well. Still got a good smile, Ron.
Where you got to. Go and enjoy your game.
Thanks, mate. Take care.
Have a good game, Rich.
Cheers, Dar.
Excellent. Right, catch up soon. Ron will carry on. Rich will disappear in a second. So do you think referees deserve more money?
No.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't really. I mean, I think the salaries in football are ridiculous at the moment. Absolutely ridiculous, you know. But I don't think referees deserve more money. They get paid a very, very good salary now. Very good salary indeed. And especially those, even those at just Premier League level get a really good salary. Yeah. But if they're internationals as well, the salary leaps up to well over 100K, 120, I've heard 130, you know. It depends where they go and whatever, you know. In my day, when we did a game abroad, and I wasn't on FIFA, by the way, Darren, but they used to send a referee with out on European Championship games with the FIFA referee. And I mean, three-day trip, I don't know, you'd get about 150 quid, something like that. It wasn't a great. Look, I'd have done it for nothing.
I was going to say, it's not about the money, is it? It's the you're going to a European game. You've got a jolly away for 3 days. It's not about the money.
And neither was refereeing about the money. And okay, I'll ask you a question then, Richard. Darren, what do you get now to do a local game as a level five?
Okay, so on the Taunton District League, which I go on, it's £25 plus expenses.
Right.
And then if I'm on the Western League, it's £40 for an assistant referee all in, and then £60 for the referee.
Okay, all right. I mean, it's gone up a lot since my day. But I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'd have done it for nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just loved the game.
Yeah,
I loved the game, and then when I come in refereeing, I loved refereeing, and I'd have done it for nowt, you know, as simple as that. And when I started, I think I was getting seven shillings and sixpence a game.
Was that 35p, isn't it? Or something like that. Yeah, but like you say, it's not about the money. We do it because we love the game. If you were more involved, here's a question for you. If you were more involved than you are now and you had a bit more say in what could be done and what could be said about how referees are these days, what ideas would you dangle? What carrot would you dangle? What would you suggest to help a referee progress their career?
Okay, so we're looking at someone that's not on the Premier League.
Yeah, maybe somebody who's sort of Western League level, sort of level four and above, level five and above.
Well, the biggest thing that you have to overcome is fitness. Mm. And I found that going up through... the referees that were okay, we'll talk about. I wasn't on the Western League, by the way. I was on the Football Combination, which was the reserve teams of the Football League in those days. It was just like being on a Western League or a Southern League game, you know. But I wasn't. But what I did find was that the application to fitness and positioning was not treated so seriously as it should have been if they wanted to progress, and certainly some did want to progress, but they wouldn't. Now whether that was because of lack of training, lack of coaching, that may well have been the case, or was it just I do enough to referee a game, so I don't need to go mad and do everything more. I mean, when I was in 20 years in Somerset, I trained every day. It was something you just did. Okay, there was the odd exception, like Christmas Day and things like that. But generally, I trained every day in some form or another. I mean, I was lucky when I was at Locking. We had a fantastic gymnasium, and we also had a fantastic running track. So I was very, very fortunate where I could practice my fitness tests on those venues. Which was great. But I think that's the biggest thing, is if you want to get on, get fit. The closer you are to play, as I said, the better it is. You can sell decisions. And if you can be close to play, players will accept it. We're on any level now, local level, you know, as you say, Taunton District or Western League, players will accept decisions better if the referee is closer to play at the time.
It's the credibility side of things, isn't it? You know, you start blowing your whistle from 35, 40 yards away on a decision which you can't hear. You're opening yourself up for, I would suggest, probably quite a lot of dissent. You lose a bit of credibility. So
you're absolutely right. Well, a fortnight ago, I won't say young referee because he wasn't. He was late 30s. And, you know, it's a sad thing to say now, but he is trying to register with Hampshire FA and get a course, and he cannot get one. But he'll go out and referee because there's so short of referees on the island. Hello.
Hello, Rich is back.
Hello, Rich is back. Is this something we said earlier?
The phone call was to say he's going to be 10 minutes late. If you say 10 minutes in Arabic, that means... 15, 20, maybe a bit longer.
Do you know what? This series of episodes of the podcast has got to be one of my favourites so far because of everything that's been going on. I love it. Oh, right. So Rich has now rejoined the call, and we're just in the middle of a...
Richard, I mean, if you wanted to go to the loo, you just said, excuse me. You didn't have to make up this.
So we
go back a long time, Richard and I.
Rich, Ron is just talking about a referee that he said is trying to get on with Hampshire FA, but really struggling at the moment. So, Ron,
and he's refereeing because we're so short of referees on the island that he's refereeing. He qualified as a 15-year-old, but then went into playing for 25 years or 20 years, and now he's refereeing because they're so short. But he can't. He's been trying for ages to get a course, and Hampshire aren't running any courses. But he does tell me now, a fortnight ago, he told me that Dorset Football Association have offered him a course in November. Well, it's crazy. Mm. It's absolutely crazy. Anyway, that's another story. But we were talking about communication and things like that, and closeness to play. And I watched him and just said to him, right, OK, his whistle was awful. It wasn't that good. It was really, really terrible. And it was, so he's getting no response. He was a good manager. He could talk to the players, which he did on several times, you know. And I just said to him afterwards, I said, throw your whistle away and get yourself a new whistle. He said, I said, just take it, the whistle just for half time. The whistle got stuck and it was, you know, poor. And he said, yo, anyway, next day he emailed me and said, got a new whistle, Ron, you know. Saw him there a day, and this was in the last fortnight, and he said, the players said to me, blimey, your whistle are now strong today. I said, good, because they're now recognising, because before, as you said, they're blowing 35 yards away, Darren, and the bloke's 35 yards away didn't even hear the whistle. And this was a case, you know, exact case on this day. So, yeah.
Interesting feedback, Ron, because it's not a characteristic that you would think players pick up on. But if it's the way you use your whistle as an individual,
yes,
is what people recognise you for.
Yeah, yeah, they do. You're right. And it's they talk about, it's talking with the whistle, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, you can blow the whistle for the kickoff, and it's just a quick, blow, and away you go. Like, you know, but when it's a heavy foul, blast it out and say, "Hey, I am not." You're saying I am not happy about this, and neither is the player you've just brought down.
Yeah. Yeah. Let them know on the other pitch, don't you?
That's right. Yeah. And that is so. It's about communication. So this thing about going through. We're talking about, you know, what would you need to progress, you know, and communication is one of the biggest things, but it starts with the whistle because that is our management tool.
Ron, just a quick one. You're talking about communication and one thing and another, and we already know your views on VAR. What are your thoughts of having headsets?
I remember when they first came in, and I was working for the Premier League then as a referee manager, and the first game I went to see was down at Southampton where they had headsets, and the referee was Howard Webb, and it was quite strange because I saw Webby come up through, and I assessed him coming up through, and. And he said, "Hey, Ron, we got this new headset, so you got to try one." And he dragged me out on the pitch. We were testing this thing out. What do I think of them? I think there needs to be communication. There does need to be communication between match officials. So I think that's not a bad thing. I'm not sure I would have felt comfortable running around wearing one myself, to be honest. But I can see the advantage of it, especially for things that go on behind the referee's back that the assistant sees. And he can just say, you know, Rich, number four has just clouted somebody behind your back, you know. And when there is a reaction to that, I think I've seen players... The bloody hell did the referee see that? Well, he didn't, but he had. But that's it's teamwork, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Part of the teamwork. I think it's a good thing. That's one part of technology that's coming to refereeing. I do think it's a good thing.
Rich, before you have to go to the toilet again and disappear, or wherever it is you're going to go this time, have you got
sharing information as referees with one team leader is a key to success if you get it right. But you've got to make sure that if you're using comms kits, that you're not overusing it just for the sake of making a noise and trying to be busy. So, you know, give it a value, give it the right level of value so that it enhances match control. And in time, everybody during the game will have a contribution to make to teamwork. Directional restarts, free kicks, blindside challenges. There's lots of information there that when referees and assistant referees share that information, match control is very smooth. And it's the art of using this, the communications kits that we've now got.
Right, it's the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon and Ron Groves again. We can't get rid of Ron, but Ron, you're welcome back anytime, I have to say. Listen, before we shoot, obviously, if you didn't know, Ron's got a book out. It's called From the Cowfields to Anfield. That's one for you to get. Can we have another story before we sort of all slip off in our own directions?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
It's up to you.
Okay.
Another story from your career.
I'll tell you a story of Chelsea Man United.
God, brilliant. Excellent. Rich, you up for this one then?
I was going to ask Ron to tell me a story of his meetings with Alan Ball, because Alan Ball is my footballing hero when I was a lad. And white boots and all things like that come to mind, you know?
I only met Alan when he was actually managing. And I thought he was a fantastic guy. And I couldn't say highly enough of him. He was a tremendous guy. I mean, he was managing at Portsmouth and that, and he was really fantastic, you know. And I'll tell you what, a sad thing, really. I had a bonfire in the garden the other day, and Alan Ball's name, and you know why, came to mind, because Alan, you know, died when he collapsed onto a bonfire in his garden. And that was really, really sad, yeah. So he was a great guy, you know.
Well, when you have an icon in sport, and Alan, as I said, was my icon, World Cup winner, I was a young lad, et cetera, brought his book, met him, followed him. He played for Everton, came to the Arsenal, then went into management. Yeah. And that's where I met him. My occasion was at Portsmouth, and then he went to Exeter. And I was a match official, had to respect the situations that we both represented, but I was always sort of in awe of being in his presence. And he took us into his office. Yeah. We always had an after-match bottle of
beer. That's right, yeah. Right,
you know, and the man was just pure, what can I say? I'll call him a legend in my world. That's what he was for me, because he was that person. And when I got to meet him, he became that true person that I always wanted him to be. And that's my memories of Alan Ball.
Yeah, and that's a good analogy. That is a really, really good analogy, because that's the way I felt about him, really.
Tell us about Chelsea Man United, Ron.
Oh, yeah, and it's nothing to do with the game, OK? Right, I go along, Chelsea Man United, so it's a big game. Now, Chelsea were having their stand on one end, so the crowd was limited to 30,000. Go in the dressing room, and the match assessor comes in, and we're chatting away, knock on the door. Police inspector. I have wonderful things with police inspectors. This police inspector comes in. I'm not going to copy the accent. Little short guy. He was Irish. And he said, referee, he said, it's my day off. I've got dragged in for this and my game's rugby. And I thought, we're in the crap. That was my immediate thoughts, you know. And he said, the green bit's all yours. And I said, oh, that's music to my ears. He said, unless. And we come around to this swearing again. I said, oh, yeah. He said, if a player swears, he said, I shall send two of my bobbies on to arrest him. I said, sorry, can you just run that by me again? And he said it again. And I said, OK, well, I said, look, if he swears at me or he swears at my assistants, we will take the action under the laws of the game. Simple as that. He said, yeah, but I'm still going to come on and arrest. I said, well, if you're going to do that, I said, I've got team sheets, you know, I'll take the number of the player, you can take the number of the player, you can come on, check it with me afterwards, and then you do whatever you think you is right, you know. No, I'm going to come on and arrest him. Right, okay. I said, right, that's your final word. He said, yes, it is. I said, okay, what's the crowd today? He said, I said, well, I'll tell you now, it's 30,000. He said, so, you know, that's what it is. I said, well, if after 10 minutes this happens, I said, you've got 30,000 problems. He said, why is that? I said, I pick up the ball and we walk off. Game over. And I said, and Chelsea are not going to be happy with you because they're going to, all these people, apart from season ticket holders, are going to want their money back. He said, I don't think you'd do it. I said, try me.
Excellent.
I walked out. And the assessor said, you won't see him anymore today, Rod.
and that's
in my book as well.
Oh,
that's absolutely gospel. Absolutely gospel.
So is the book out now? Because we've got to give it its final big plug while you're here.
The book is out now. Funny enough, I've had an email this morning from Keith Hackett. He said, Ron, what's happening with the book? Where is it going out to?
Is it on Amazon yet?
No, it's not on Amazon. You know, but at the moment, so I'm selling books locally on the island. I've got rid of I think I'm up to 90 now.
Well, I tell you what we'll do, Lert. For anybody that's listening, if you would like a copy of Ron's book, okay, if you email us at info@refereesworld.co.uk and you want a copy of this book, then we'll pass on the details to Ron and he can deal with you direct. I think that will be...
Yes, I'll do that.
That'll
I'll
be quite
that.
Useful
Not
for
problem.
You.
Not a problem.
And then that way you keep all the money yourself, Ron. And then me and Rich will spin you an invoice over for
30%. I charge a very fair price because in the shops, it's going at $12.95.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll let it go for 10 quid plus postage, which I have to do because postage is quite heavy these days, you know. Well, I posted one yesterday and it was £2.70.
I've got to stop you there, Ron. Rich, what are you doing? You've got half of you out of your... Are you seeing this, Ron? Did that look a bit bizarre to you when he's sort of taking his belt off and he's adjusting himself?
I thought it was a cabaret. So I'm waiting for him to come on in I don't know whatever he dresses up in, whatever turns him on. Oh, there he is.
So there you go, Rich. I think that's a fair shout. We're trying to get Ron's book all done and promoted for him. So as I've said, if you want a copy of Ron's book, if you email us direct at the Referees World podcast, we'll put you in touch with Ron and then we can deal with it that way. So the email address is info@refereesworld.co.uk. Right, gents. Rich, you're about to obviously run out the front door again, clearly, because you're getting dressed in front of us. Ron, I cannot thank you enough because these last two episodes have been brilliant. Rich said that you were going to be great on the podcast. It goes beyond that, and it goes without saying that you're absolutely more than welcome to come on as a guest whenever you want. And if you want to talk about and plug your book every time you come on, absolutely not a problem at all.
Okay. I want you to do me a favour, both of you.
Go on.
Send me an address that I can post you a book gratis.
Lovely. Okay. Yeah,
that's
brilliant.
Kind of- I'm going to end the podcast today by saying, for me, in my refereeing world, Ron Groves is a legend. Ron, on behalf of everything that I've managed to achieve in refereeing, it's all a lot of it down to your insistence about having a go. And you said to me, have a go. And I thought, assessing's not for me. Observing's not for me, as it became. And here I am now. I'm out in Dubai. Have a go. Give it a go. And I did. Thanks, Ron.
Well, thanks for those kind words. I appreciate it. You know, just enjoy yourself. Say, give my regards to Lee. And let's hope we can meet up again like this.
And that has been the Referees World podcast with a nice emotional tribute from Richard to Ron, which is great to see. And if you've enjoyed the podcast, again, please get in touch with us through the website or through the email address, which is info@refereesworld.co.uk.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.